With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends, part 2 of an episode with Adam Hess. Hello again, Adam.
Oh yeah, how are you?
I'm all right. Well, this is what happened last time. What happened last time was, well, ended up talking about, just going off on one about friends, really. So it's become a two-parter, and this time you're going to talk about your actual episode.
Big time, big time, big cultural event, I think.
We've got to get you in again because we talked for so long about
friends.
Just a friend.
We all had homes to go to.
Yeah, we all had homes to go to, things to do. But that's fine. It's nice. And we have broken new boundaries with the two-parter.
So like, I was talking about friends too much. Is that what happened?
No, not too much. But
are you not used to people talking about friends?
Yes.
So do you literally... So people come on this podcast, so you go, I love friends, and they run out of stuff to say.
No. So we took the premise of the podcast, as you know, because we've spoken about it.
Yes.
And I presume you've listened lots, but let's just say you've spoken about it, is that people pick their favourite episode and then we talk about that episode.
I bet. Have you had anyone on this show that you think deep down doesn't really know what they're on about?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Some of them have admitted it, yeah.
At the end of the episode, as you know, because you've listened, we do a quick lightning round where we do 5 sort of attention to detail questions from your episode, and people have scored 0 before.
Wow.
Yeah. And we reference it quite often. There's the famous Luke Franks episode, isn't there, where he chose his episode because he was flying back from holiday and it was based on the two Friends episodes that were on the plane. That's
fair
how he
enough,
chose it.
Fair enough.
And then he forgot to watch it on the plane because he fell asleep.
I'll be honest, I chose mine at random.
Okay.
Because I think it's very easy when people are asked like what their favourite one is.
Yeah.
You just choose one with loads of bright colours because it's popped into your head. or a themed one. So like, I know you said people often choose the one where no one's ready.
Yeah.
Because that's like a sort of, it's got a cool angle.
Right.
Or I'm trying to think what other people would choose. London. Do people choose London?
We've had London.
That's happened. No, but I mean, like, people want to choose a lot, a disproportionately large number
yes,
of times.
So the one where everybody finds out is one that people quite regularly want to choose.
Oh, really?
The one where no one's ready has been the most popular by far. The one where Ross is fine in season 10, which Pete chose as his favourite episode, the first ever episode we did this podcast, a surprising amount of people have tried to choose that.
Interesting.
Classic Ross.
Yeah, it is. But much later, it surprised me, and we talked about this, you know, a long while ago now, that anyone would choose a season 10 as their favourite ever episode of Friends. Because for my loyalties all lie 1 to 5.
Without a doubt. I mean, yeah.
6 is the worst.
Is it?
Oh.
Okay.
The one with the joke.
Yeah.
Which has been chosen on this podcast, and our guest was berated for it repeatedly, Will Manning. It's probably the worst episode of Friends, I think.
Wow.
And this is all said with love and respect, and, you know, we love Friends. We're not down on it. I just think there was a real nadir in season 6.
Within so many episodes, there's bound to be some crap ones.
Right. And that was the main bit of that episode was 2 men arguing about who made up a joke that was a bit racist or something, it turned out. You know, it was...
We never know what the joke was.
No, we don't, fortunately. Yeah. But Monica says it was racist.
Yeah, meant, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I chose one at random because I didn't want to be marred by...
regrets of sort of...
Because there's too many. It's like the ones that... Bearing in mind, I've watched the London one the most. Yeah. I was like,
yeah, well, that was probably when I probably found it. The London one.
Like the race car. Or there's ones I've watched the most just because I had them on video.
The video
like,
ones, yeah. The four episodes on a video, yeah.
Yeah, so I would have watched like the one with all the jam or whatever. Loads. But yeah, so what do I do now? I talk about my...
Well, we'll talk about it. Yeah, yeah.
That's also, can you quiz me on other people's episodes? Do you have any of those fair questions?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got...
Quickly, can I just get one?
Okay. Last week's episode was the one with the stoned guy.
Okay.
Series one. What's the name of Chandler's boss?
Oh.
Oh my God, if you get this.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but why would you get this? You haven't watched this one.
All right, another
specifically.
Question.
What does weenus stand for?
Oh no, I don't know what Friends is. Okay. Oh, wow. Weenus.
Yeah.
Weekly? Enterprise?
Estimated.
Wow. Something of sales.
Net usage statistics. Net, but that's fine.
Well done. Right. Okay, I'm.
But
you know,
this is what's happened. But this is okay. It'll only be about your episode. Okay. But we will talk about it. Yeah,
lovely.
So it's yours. Is the one with all the rugby.
Well, I'll tell you why I actually chose it.
Yeah,
it's one of the most culturally significant pieces of art in, and I will fight that case.
Yeah,
because I will insist that if you say to most people the word Yemen,
yeah.
They will think of Chandler.
100%.
Yeah,
they will not think of Yemen. And that is, I think that's true.
Brilliant, isn't it? It's astonishing.
Like, it's astonishing that part of that one of the jokes in it is Joey saying to Chandler, and Chandler,
sounds like a real
you made place. It sound like a real place.
Yeah.
And everyone laughs.
Yeah.
And then everyone watching it must have themselves being like, pretending to find that a funny joke, but being like,
Wikipedia?
I'm like, what? Yeah. Well, to me, this is true because I watched that when I was, I guess, 9. So, of course, I didn't know.
Well, that's definitely when I first watched this episode, that's definitely the first time I was aware of Yemen.
I'd say the same.
Yeah. So I just find it funny that now, yeah, that still must be with people.
Yeah.
I say funny. No, it's just, I think it's just a culturally significant thing. What else do I like the episode?
Sorry, hang on, wait. I'm going to do the formatting of the podcast. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to read out the plot summary
for
people that haven't listened to it previously. I do enjoy your taking the initiative, though. You're just like, oh, what else do I enjoy?
Okay.
Let me talk for half an hour.
Let's go. Sorry.
Sort of random thoughts. Season 4, episode 15, the one with all the rugby. Here's the synopsis in case you haven't watched it recently. Ross wants to prove that he's tough to Emily by playing rugby with some of her British friends. Meanwhile, Monica becomes stressed when she discovers a switch in the apartment that appears to have no function. And Chandler regrets running into Janice and goes to extreme measures to get away from her. Switch. Right. Rugby.
Yemen.
Where do you want to start?
Rugby. Let's start with rugby.
Yeah.
So Ross and Emily just walking through the street.
Oh, it's not a street, is it?
It's so such awful. An obvious set. It's so bad that it was like the most watched show of the time.
It couldn't be asked to go outside.
I'm just curious, like the budget.
It's always really obvious when they do these outdoors ones as well, because there's a few scenes of them hanging around outside and like a taxi appears and it just looks like everything surrounding them is just made of cardboard.
Yeah. And they have this car just like pull up at so few miles an hour. So few miles an hour with the same audio brum, 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 just plunged in. But it's so funny. Like, I bet this is true. I bet more people watched Friends than watch Game of Thrones. I think that must be true.
That is, yeah, based on what we talked about on last week's podcast.
Based on facts.
There was nothing else to do.
But I bet 100 million people must have watched the finale.
Right.
You must know that. I don't know.
No, I don't, but
it's tens of millions of people would have watched it live or whatever.
I mean, everybody's watched Friends and not everybody's watched Game of Thrones. That's the best way. Like, literally everybody.
So they must have had the money, which makes it now look so odd that outside-y bit... You never really... You only ever saw the bit outside Central Perk.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It all looked the same.
Yeah.
And then, these two rugby guys just turn up and just say, oh, let's...
They just pick up Emily, don't they?
Let's pick up Emily. Let's go and play rugby tomorrow.
I mean, they were wearing rugby kit.
Wearing rugby kit. They just
walking down the street. Where have they just come from? From rugby? And they're going on the way to rugby? Like,
they bump into her in the almost... One of the biggest cities in the world. You bump into her in the street.
Yeah.
And
open cans. They're proper like what the Brits do. Open tinny, wearing rugby kit.
It's their accents as well, because at times they sound genuinely British, and then the one with the long hair, suddenly he sounds South African at one point. I can't work out whether they are actually English or whether they are trying to put an accent on. It's odd.
One way to find out that, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess so.
Just take a bit of Google break, don't we?
There's a funny bit in the episode. I don't know if this is a thing that you've discussed.
Yep.
But it's in every scene of every episode, of every series, I think. So, you know, I mean, the writing is bulletproof. Every scene has a punchline, pretty much. And there's a punchline, and every punchline is followed by, like, a really dirty guitar riff. So he's like, hey, but what about my shoes? But what's funny is when it goes, the camera stays on that scene for about a second and a half. So the actors all have to do something to fill the time.
Right.
So it's often like a shrug, like, I don't know, eh? Or why I order. Those sort of things. What's really funny is in one of these, Pete, do you know what I mean? But can you imagine that in your head?
Yeah, of course.
So that sort of thing. What's quite funny is actually watching those sort of like gestures that they do to fill the time. There's a bit where they're in the flat watching rugby on TV or whatever. And Rachel makes the punchline of the whole scene. Rachel making a joke to Ross, like, you aren't man enough to play rugby. That's essentially the joke. And a big laugh, and then man-a-win-a-win-a-win. The gesture that happens to fill that time is like Ross, like, threatening to punch Rachel.
Right. So, yeah, I noted this down. He makes that as if to attack her.
Yeah.
And Joey holds him back.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to fucking get you, love. Yeah. And it's extra funny because they've just broken up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just so funny. Yeah, Joey's like, no, she's not worth it, dude. And then the scene just cuts, and I'm like, I want to know what happened then.
What would he have done?
Yeah, would he have punched her in the head? It's so funny. Those gestures, I just find, it's just so...
I know, it's astonishing moment, that. I've got some news for you about the rugby lads, by the way.
Go.
One of them is from Manchester, the non-long-haired one.
Right, okay.
The other one appears not to have a nationality anywhere on the internet, which is...
I thought so.
Quite impressive.
Maybe he doesn't have one, and that's why his accent's all over the place. He belongs to the world.
His Wikipedia is, Mark Thomas is an actor best known for Friends.
Of course. Oh, that's a shame.
Which is a two scene.
Oh, yeah, it's two scenes.
Doesn't look... So, I'm just going to... It might be worth you getting the picture of Mark Thomas up, Pete. Mark McCullough Thomas is the name. Plays Liam. Picture Liam.
Okay.
A big, curly-haired rugby lad, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just getting him up.
This is a picture of Mark Thomas.
Oh, goodness me. He's...
Oh, gosh.
He's got a very steely look on him, hasn't he now?
He's aged well.
Hasn't he?
He has. That's what I was basically thinking that I tried to... Over, yeah.
My brain has tricked me into thinking that photo was taken today. There is no reason for me to think that time doesn't exist.
No. He has probably aged badly in reality. Photo was taken 40 years ago.
What's weird about the budget, the evident budget constraints of Friends, is that the episode is like, when they play the rugby, it's played... So unlike the one with the football, where it's clearly a set, a very, I don't know where they're claiming they were playing the football.
Start at the back, isn't it? Yeah. Start at the back of the New York City street where they live.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, is it Central Park? Like, which seems to be very miles away.
Well, Central Park's miles away from where they live, mate.
Where do they live?
Well, Greenwich Village.
Do they?
Well, yes, if they reference the village and also the exterior shot. Is Greenwich Bedford Avenue in Greenwich. So that's way downtown from...
So there's a park.
I think it must be a little park, a little local park.
So that is ridiculous. They must have realised we can't be doing that again. So where they play rugby...
Yeah.
So it's genuinely outside park. They still were only able to hire, like, the smallest bit of it. Like, there's, like, a bush on the pitch, pretty much.
It's a tiny square of grass.
The whole place that they're playing just makes no sense. Like, it's so small.
Also, every player is wearing completely different kit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It would be impossible to know who is on whose team.
Especially for Ross, who's never met anyone.
Yeah. And if, you know, as we're going over the problems with the rugby, you do not start a game of rugby with a scrum. Famously, you did not.
There was something about, even though rugby is only like referenced a couple of times in that scene, it's abundantly clear that nobody watched even one episode of rugby. Not one episode of rugby. Come on, get in the bloody scrum. And it was...
Someone's Googled rugby and seen the word scrum, and that's the only real... That's all they reference.
Yeah, get in the... for a guy who's never played rugby, you'd know, just don't ask him to do that. It's as if, everyone needs to be in the scrum.
Yeah, exactly.
For rugby to happen correctly.
And that scrum goes on for an implausible amount of time.
Yeah.
I know the joke is that Ross is upside down with his legs up in the middle, but it goes on about 30 seconds. Scrums are done in 5 seconds, mate.
Scrum.
It's absolutely done. And there's a point earlier that you notice when Joey starts teaching Ross about rugby.
That's a scrum. It's kind of like a huddle.
Yeah, like a scrum.
A scrum's what, like a team talk?
Yeah.
Which it isn't. What an awful description. A huddle is a team talk.
Yeah,
isn't
right,
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is he...
What's he playing at?
What is he saying?
Yeah. Well, it feels implausible to me that Joey Tribbiani would know the rules of rugby.
Yeah.
He'd probably I'm just thinking, in comparison, I'm not a massive rugby fan, but my basic knowledge of American football, I'd probably be able to say something largely quite useless to someone in Ross's situation, giving them some vague idea of how it works.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And that's kind of what Joey does.
Yeah. But the thing is, what did he really teach Ross with that bit of information? Ross didn't have any follow-up questions.
The problem is that in Joey's defense, Ross was an unwilling student in that moment, because Ross says was, is a hum a bit like a scruddle.
Absolutely. So I stand corrected.
If I was Ross and I was about to play my first ever game of rugby and I was watching it on TV, I'd be like, I need to teach me everything you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's watching the game.
This is really important that I don't die.
Yeah.
But he's just doing shit wordplay.
Trying to think. This is at an age where, I guess my school made me start playing rugby at 11.
Right.
And it petrified me.
We weren't allowed to play rugby at school.
Why?
Because the head teacher was a big cricket fan and he thought that rugby was too physical and he was scared of everyone breaking their legs, so we didn't play.
Yeah, fair play. I mean, cricket, arguably not physical enough.
I'd agree, yeah.
Find a middle ground, head teacher.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sweat once playing cricket during those PE lessons. But no, rugby, I found it petrifying. And what's weird is my school assumed I knew the rules.
Right.
And it's very weird to say, so are you not allowed to do that? I just had to learn the rules of rugby from the occasions where other boys would shout at me.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, can't you put the ball down your trousers and just run around with it like that? But yeah, it's a weird depiction of rugby. Also, the whole Emily plot, it's very odd.
Yeah.
Because surely no viewer thought, oh, this woman's going to stay around forever and have a seventh friend.
Well, interesting you say that. So are you aware of what happened with Emily?
No.
So we've referenced this on the podcast before, but that was the original plan. Helen Baxendale was to become a permanent cast member of Friends, but she got pregnant midway through season 4 shooting and decided she didn't want to have a baby and bring it up in New York.
Oh,
so she basically bailed on the show and went, I'm back off to England. And that's where the whole Ross-Rachel thing comes from, because they hurriedly went,
take thee, Rachel.
Oh, God, how are we going to get them out of this?
Oh, my God.
And when you look at it that way, it's a very clever way of writers
that was amazing.
Getting a man out of a wedding on his wedding day, because that's a real hard ask, isn't it?
So
how do we end this marriage before it starts?
How much time do they have to think of that? One of the greatest cliffhangers I've ever...
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I screamed. I screamed.
Because at that point, there was no Netflix going the next episode. We had to wait...
Months.
Months?
A
year?
It would have been 6 months. Because it's 23... There's 6 months worth of episodes.
Yes, you're right.
So it would have been about 6 months. Wow. Wow.
So by all... You know, this could all be complete urban myth, but it seems to be fairly well documented that they were supposed to be together. And
that's
so towards
amazing.
The end of season 4, you remember the episode, the one with the invitation, which is a clip show where they're thinking about inviting Rachel to the wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the whole episode is a clip show about Ross and Rachel's history, and it comes two episodes before London, which at the time you'd be like, it seems a bit weird that the big build-up to Ross and Emily's wedding yeah. day is reminding
clever.
Us about Ross and Rachel. But we've deduced on this podcast that that is why that episode was there.
Imagine if Game of Thrones had a clips episode.
Like, clips episodes are so... I used to be so angry when yeah. I would turn on the television on a Friday night and realise my one 22-minute serving of Friends this week.
It was basically a YouTube video called yeah. Friends Best Bits. Yeah.
What would happen if you got a comedian in a room, you open their Amazon account and you look back at everything they've ever bought on that website? Well, this...
because I was consuming so much peanut butter, I decided to try and get a powdered version that wasn't as fattening.
Your handwriting can change your life.
I regret this book. I regret this book.
Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring yeah, and fridge
that.
Magnets.
Yeah, I love yes. that. I do have that on my fridge.
£4 you spent on that.
That's My Mate Bought a Toaster, available now from Great Big Al.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Should we talk about the switch that does nothing?
Yeah, I'm not as keen
on that bit, are you?
What do you think, Pete?
We at our house, there's a light on the outside of our house that we kind of have the opposite to Monica's problem in that we...
So you know what it does.
We don't know...
Does too much.
We don't know where the switch is for this light outside. And you can see the lead go into the outside of the wall.
Funny.
But we don't know where the switch is. So, I wouldn't go to the point of... tearing down parts of my fucking house to find out. Like, I'm not that curious. But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
So the light is on the outside of your house?
Yeah, and it's just there, but we assume that there's a switch for it, and there's a cable that goes in the house, but we don't know where it goes.
Is this a street light? I mean, no. do you not know that these are just
post.
A public
yeah.
good turned on by the king when the sun goes down?
No, it is attached to the house by the front door.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But I only today I've thought about it quite a lot because I watched this episode and was like, we never did find out. But
well, have you thought about going next door to see if the switch is there?
Yes.
No, he's a bit weird next door. I wouldn't want to bother.
Having watched this episode, that would be my obvious logical conclusion. Yeah. Pete, it's next door.
Yeah.
It's a weird time in Friends lore. It's not lore. It's Friends.
Mid apartment swap.
Yeah. An absolutely ridiculous plot.
Great plot. I'll defend it. You're not into it.
It's weird. I'll be honest. One of my favorite episodes was that quiz episode. Because I think I know why. I just realized this is gags. You don't need exposition.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to get a gag into a script. You end up doing a Family Guy stuff like, it reminds me of the time that your mail was delivered to Miss Chenandler Bond.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite hard. So the quiz was an amazing way of just...
Gag.
Character stuff.
Yeah.
What's Monica's biggest pet peeve?
Yeah.
Animals dressed as humans.
Yeah. The towels, all of that stuff.
Miss Chanel Le Bon made me laugh so much.
One of the funniest things I've ever heard when I
first saw it. So funny. Yeah. I'll say what is funny. At one point when Rachel comes home, she sees Monica, and Monica's just torn loads of holes in the book. By the way, I know this is going to be one of your questions.
Correct.
This is one of your questions.
It's going to be what?
What book was Monica reading?
Ah, interesting. Where, it's not. It's
oh, is it not? Not?
Yeah. There is another detail in that scene, though.
Okay, but Monica's reading a book when Rachel comes home. And it's a scary book.
What is it?
It's called Hole in the Head,
yeah.
Which you'd assume is a sort of a self-help book or something about I miss you, something about missing someone, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a book about someone getting an assassin.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, Monica. Oh, I guess you're a bit.
It's a bit, good bit of character,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But I don't know if I care much for that. It's good.
I don't care too much.
I don't care.
Let me tell you my observations about this bit. I mean, this is very much the filler, isn't it, between the two other plots, which are the main ones in this.
Yeah,
and Yemin is one of the best bits of Friends.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And it goes to show what a different time. So, no, you go. You go. You talk about Yemin.
No, I'm not going to talk about Yemen. I'm just going to talk about the switch. Then we'll discard the switch and we'll finish on Yemen, and that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only real things I noticed were, I did enjoy the moment where she's hooked up all the things to the switch to hear what makes a sound.
Yeah.
And Joey does that classic schoolboy prank of doing the hum.
Absolute.
Does it really well.
Joey all over.
Brilliant.
Joey all over.
Great, little, nice little Joey.
J-A-O.
The only, we just revisit this two or three times, don't we? And she's gone more and more mad, basically, in her attempts to discover this. She's gone down to City Hall and found the blueprints. There is one weird reference to Joshua, who appears not at all in this episode.
And I felt his pulse.
Yeah. And Rachel comes home and basically goes, you know, guess what happened with Joshua at work today? And it's a real testament to how loyal they know that audience is.
That of course.
They just go, every single person that's watching this knows what's going on. We all know about Joshua at work. He is not mentioned once. They don't set it up. Rachel just walks in and goes, guess what happened with Joshua at work? I felt his pulse. And Monica goes, oh, great.
Yeah, that whole scene is like three lines long.
Yeah, and that's it. And I guess that's just for them to be like, hey, guys, Joshua's still knocking about. Don't forget that. But it's kind of mad when you think about it.
It's a weird, very weird, very quick scene.
Yeah.
People just knew everything. I guess, but you're right. It's a way to also remind the audience that
Josh was there.
Still fancies this
but
guy.
It just made me think, like, man, they have confidence that everyone knows what the hell's going on. Because that, as an isolated bit of dialogue, is mad. And then that's it. That's really the switch. We find out it's controlling the TV across the hall.
Or is it?
Or is
blinking?
Is Phoebe doing it with her mind?
I think
it's the switch, isn't it?
The Yemen thing is one of the many bits of, I mean, I guess 90s sitcom. We forget how old Friends is. The fact that the internet does not exist through any of Friends' premiership at all.
No.
Didn't exist. The number of problems that could have been solved, like massive problems, with just a phone existing.
Yeah.
A telephone.
Yeah.
Was it the one like Chandler's trying to find Monica so that Richard doesn't propose to her?
It's like, text her, mate.
He really should have done. He definitely could have done.
Yeah.
Could he?
Oh, yeah. By that time.
Yeah.
There's another episode where Joey is auditioning for Mac and Cheese.
Yeah.
And Chandler picks up that message by mistake and
it all goes
to shit because he writes it on the whiteboard thing on the back of the door and then that's it. He doesn't text him, he doesn't, nothing.
Yeah,
but they've got phones by then, 100%. That's the year 2000, mate.
Yeah, but they're not in their pockets.
No, absolutely not.
I look at their pockets. I look at TV characters' pockets. They don't have a phone to their name or a wallet. It's very sad.
No.
The Yemen thing, it's just so funny that like the way of, like there was no discussion of, email me. I'll email you. Or like it was the idea that someone could legitimately pretend to go to another country in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was a believable plot. Like,
do you know what, though? It shouldn't have been believable because the whole reason this started is because they bumped into each other at a nail bar.
Yeah.
Like, if they're bumping into... Chandler and Janice bump into each other far too regularly.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
Across the series.
So funny.
They always... And it's always... I really like the Janice reveals.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. There is a genuine moment of, like, shock whenever she appears.
And Matt LeBlanc does a really good bit of acting when Chandler brings Janice into the apartment. He physically jumps and recoils.
Yeah.
In genuine terror.
That's funny.
And Chandler's can't stand the woman when he shuts the door on her as well.
I
remember that was good.
It's kind of glossed over, isn't it, that Chandler doesn't need to date Janice just because he's bumped into her.
But he's famously like, well, this was great. I'll give you a call. We should do it again sometime. Yeah. I think it's...
But it seems to be his go-to that he bumps into her, looks horrified in the nail bar. She goes, oh my God. And he looks scared.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, they're dating again.
That must be the last time they go out. They're in a relationship. Ooh. It must be, because then Monica and him hook up.
Series 5, yeah. Then Janice comes back, doesn't she, around the time of the wedding.
And she goes. Yeah. She meets up with Ross as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She dates Ross.
Yeah, I like Janice.
A great character. Underrated.
That actress was in Parent Trap, and I couldn't recognise her because she didn't speak like that. And
she didn't do the Janice voice.
Yeah, I think she was one of the mums, But yeah. It's just so funny to think, just, I consider anyone that doesn't have a phone, an alien. doesn't have a phone. Like people who, even me from the 90s or 2000s, the idea that I was able to not go insane.
Yeah.
Without stimulation of just even having a Wikipedia or Google Maps. I'm like, I can't relate to that person.
Yeah, what's happening?
So I can't even relate to sitcom characters now if they don't enter a Starbucks and just look for a socket. So just in case, do you know what I mean?
Like, just in case, because they will need to charge their phone.
They'll need to charge their phone. Yeah. But no, it's funny just how old it is.
The thing that frustrated me the most for Chandler, and this is me being in the sitcom now, not just watching as a viewer. When Chandler goes to the airport and he's trying to book this fake flight to Yemen.
Yeah.
And he comes across the world's most infuriating check-in woman working for the airline who... she's not blocking him from trying to do this. She's just so stupid that the conversation basically goes like, I want to book a fake flight to Yemen. And she's like, oh, we don't do, it's like, just play along with the guy. The poor lad's trying to get out of this.
Chandler really, he should have said, can I speak to someone else? Yeah. Or like, he could have.
Yeah, it's back in his court when he just hands over a library card, isn't it? Having got nowhere.
Are you traveling with a child? It's like, can I pretend... Also, like, the fake ticket. It's so funny when you sometimes watch Friends and they do it as if they're in a play. So someone, an actor who's standing 3 feet away from another actor, can legitimately apparently not be heard.
Not her.
Psst, the surprise party's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, so that happened. Like, Janice apparently could not hear what that conversation was. But
right,
what was weird was when they were in the apartment and Janice was packing Chandler's stuff.
Yeah.
Chandler was just telling everyone in the room, just so you know, I'm pretending to go to Yemen.
Yeah.
Janice couldn't hear.
Through the open door.
Through the open door. However, like a couple of minutes later, Chandler goes, thanks, Matt. Like through the, But it's funny. It's kind of like a play that everyone's standing so close and like,
And you just accept that, don't you?
Of course you accept it.
And then the 15 Yemen Road Yemen.
Yeah.
Which,
very
great. Lovely. Lovely touch.
Yeah.
Really well delivered. For me, holds a personal disappointment because I did a Friends pub quiz about 4 years ago.
Oh.
And we only got 2 questions wrong, and that was one of them because I couldn't remember the number. I thought it was 17 or 30.
I used to think it was 10.
Yeah, I could not pinpoint the number. I knew it so well.
Mm.
And then it's one of those things where the question comes up in a Friends pub quiz and they go, what is the address Chandler gives to Janice? And you're like, got this.
Exactly.
And then you go, oh no. And I thought it was 17 Yemen Road, Yemen.
I went to a Forrest Gump themed prawn bar and talked such a big game about knowing everything about Forrest Gump. And I did not win the pub quiz. There was a Forrest Gump quiz and so I'm quite upset now. Should we be doing the quiz now?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the problem is the only thing left to do is the quiz.
Great, wonderful.
Adam Memory Hess.
Lovely. I'm so worried.
Question one.
Okay.
What film were the Friends apparently waiting in line for when Red Ross first appeared?
Dances with Wolves.
Correct.
thank you.
Question two. How much is a ticket to Yemen?
Hmm.
Her phrasing of it's a little bit unusual.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Something like $7,300. Is it?
You've got the formatting right, but yeah. you're way over, yeah.
$1,300.
$2,100.
Yeah, Americans do that.
They don't do thousands.
They don't do thousands,
well,
they do hundreds, yeah. $2,100. Okay, I'm sorry. Bad energy for a podcast. Any cake up.
That's fine, mate. No, this is fine.
Hey, guys.
Emily names four physical weaknesses of her friends on the rugby pitch. Can you name three of them?
I hope I get more than multiple points for this.
Okay.
Trick hip.
Yeah.
Correct.
Weak ankles.
Yeah.
And dodgy knee.
Bad knees. That's three.
And,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Do you remember the other one? It's not really a physical weakness, this one. It's more of an equipment problem.
He doesn't wear a cup.
Correct.
Thank you.
Does anyone wear a cup in rugby?
No.
Never?
No. Yeah, that's a cricket thing, isn't it? Yeah. Do they wear them in American football?
Must be American football. Yeah, they. I mean, it would be mad if they wear that much armour, but the dick is exposed.
Question four. What is the name of Monica and Rachel's downstairs neighbour?
Mr. Heckles. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. Okay, sorry. Okay, referencing this episode.
They talked to her through the floor.
Yeah, yeah. It is Mrs. Petrakis.
Correct.
Yes.
And question five. What is Chandler apparently being sent to Yemen to do?
To find an energy source to replace fuel. That was hilarious when I found that out, when that first heard that.
Yeah.
That was great.
Great.
And also, now... it's a real thing.
Yeah.
How old is it that the idea of solar energy was a joke?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got five.
They couldn't. No, you didn't get $2,100.
No, but I got fucking what? I got a triple hard question. One of them.
Yeah, you're right. You did.
Okay, so how many people have got five?
Two or three. Not a lot.
Not a lot. Okay.
Not a lot.
Okay. All right, but I'm happy. I'm so happy.
That's like, good. You got a lot of harder ones than I thought you would.
This has been the best podcast I've ever enjoyed.
Is it?
I mean, normally, I'm trying to think what normally I do. I think normally on podcasts, you just got to have a chat. And I'm like, I don't have a life.
I don't have enough to chat about.
I've got nothing to chat about. But I know six guys from New York and they love Friends. So I talk to them, get a lot of facts and figs. It's been very fun, yeah.
Thanks for doing it, mate.
Thanks for having me,
Thanks
guys.
For coming on 2 weeks in a row as well.
I know, right. See you next week.
it's just Friends and Friends with Adam Hess from now on. That's all we do.
Thanks
a lot. We'll be back next week. Goodbye.
See ya.
Hello, we're still here. Look, next week on Friends with Friends, comedy writer, actor, and podcaster of the wonderful Smashing Sundays podcast, it's Beth Granville. Hello, Beth Granville.
Hello.
Tell us, please, if you will, which episode we shall be talking about next week.
We will be talking about the one with Ross's teeth.
The one with Ross's teeth, series 6, episode 8. Go away, watch it, bone up on your attention to detail, and we shall be back next week on Friends with Friends to talk about it in far too much detail. Bye now.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.